The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you'll end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such a relationship with me. Today, my message is the essence of my message to Christians. Overview. I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. We will look at the false names, the Lord, God, Jesus, and Christ, and then various other topics. So we will discuss that we exist to be friends of the Creator, and that Yeshua, Jesus, was a Jew or a Yehudite. We will talk about the correction of names. We will note that the name of the Creator is Yah, the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, and that He is the Almighty, not God, and that the man commonly known as Jesus is actually Yahushua, and that the word commonly translated as Christ means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Then we will note that Yeshua died on a stake and not a cross. And finally, we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a general manager. I have nearly 30 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of about 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy of the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and I chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and podcasts on the drop-down for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. So this is based on the article 2020-10-04, The Essence of My Message to Christians. As I said a moment ago, I've now reached a point where Father has shown me that my understanding has matured and consolidated to a point where I can write an article summarizing all the key points that relate to my message as my message applies to Christians. I aim to produce similar articles for Jews, Muslims, unbelievers, and other religions. Nearly all of my writings are presented on the website www.endtimeissueministries.org, including a set of PDF volumes available at the Compilation of Most Writings page. For direct words from the Almighty to myself, see the Important Insights page. If you're a Christian, I urge you to read this article to the end prayerfully, and then to pray the prayer at the end. In all my writings, words and phrases in curly brackets relate to commonly used words that are incorrect at a level that should be avoided. My journey with the Almighty has been deeply informed by the rigor of my engineering training. I have a doctorate in engineering. Folks, so this is going to take probably two or three broadcasts to cover the whole message. It's really about people who are Christians and close to Father are not nearly as close as they could be if they knew what's in this series that I'm going to share with you. So I encourage you to listen, pray, and make the necessary adjustments. In summary, this article presents a headline review of most facets of my teachings as they apply first and foremost to Christians. As I said a moment ago, subsequent articles are planned for Jews, Muslims, etc. It is stressed that Jesus was a Jew and that his name therefore could not be a Greek name, which Jesus is. His name was Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. A number of common English translation errors in the majority of English Bibles are discussed, and from this it is evidence that there is misunderstanding amongst most Christians of the reality that Yahushua, Jesus, was a human being and not God in the flesh. It is noted that it is grievous error and sin to worship Jesus. We should worship the Bible alone. The history of the Bible is discussed, and it is noted that the Bible is a valuable history book, no more, and that it is not the Word of God, and it is sin to worship it, which is what you do if you call it the Word of God and say it's infallible and without error and use it for divining and things like that. It is noted that the only reason we exist to be friends of the Creator, and if you're not living life with that objective, you're missing the whole reason for your existence. Wide diversity of other topics are discussed. So this article, this series of broadcasts, is specifically directed at helping a Christian who wants to get as close to Father as possible to do just that. There's a lot of other material on the website. So my first point, and it's really the crux of my message continually, is that we exist to be friends of the Creator. There's fundamentally only one reason that human beings, this planet, this solar system, this universe exist, and that is because the Almighty Creator, who has always existed, was lonely and wanted companions, and specifically friends. Friend of the Creator is the highest achievement in this life, and anything short of that is a misfire, particularly if you've not even attempted to achieve the status with Him. This means that you talk to Him constantly. You know His true name. You are the eternally self-existing. And you use it exclusively. He talks to you constantly, that you know His plans and participate in them, that you know His goals and work towards them, that you pray His will into existence on earth in close consultation with Him. You're a turnaround emissary or turnaround prophet, and are changing the spiritual dispensation on earth in consultation with the Creator, etc. If you qualify as a friend at the end of your life, then you qualify to sit on a very high throne in heaven with a glorious resurrected body, great authority, great prestige, and great power for eternity. Folks, if you stop and think about it, we live in this massively complex universe, on this massively complex planet, these massively complex plants and animals and massively complex human beings. Why? Who? How did it come about? The only rational explanation is there's a Creator, and the only rational explanation for why we exist is that He wanted friends. So if you haven't got that yet, I encourage you to take hold of that and say, Father, I want to become your friend. Contact me, I'll help you. So my second point, Jesus was a Jew, or more correctly, Yahushua was a Yehudite. So the man you may call Jesus Christ was a Jew, a Yehudite, a resident of Judah, Yehuda, and therefore a Hebrew. He spoke Hebrew and lived in a Hebrew society. See Matthew, Matthew chapter 1. The genealogy of Yeshua, Jesus. References, links back to Ruth chapter 4, verses 18 to 22, and Luke chapter 3, verses 23 to 28. The book of the generation of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abram. Abram begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob. And so it goes on, and you pick up that some well-known names that are clear in the Bible, Boaz of Rahab, Ruth and Obed, David the king, Solomon, wife of Uriah, Bathsheba. And so it goes. There's a whole list of names there. And then it ends off, Eliezer begat Mathan, and Matan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Yeshua, Jesus, who is called the Anointed One, Christ. So there you see the entire genealogy in earthly terms that was attributed to Yeshua. Goes all the way back to Abram, goes through Jacob, Israel, goes through David the king, Solomon the king, all the way through to the time that Yeshua was born. And this is important to understand, that in legal terms, Yeshua was born as a child of Abraham, as a descendant of Abraham, and therefore and of Jacob, Israel. So therefore a fully defined Israel, person of Israel, a fully defined Jew, born of a Yehudite, a Jew. And this is so important to understand. He was not just any old person. He was a descendant in earthly terms of a whole bloodline that is traced through the Bible. Goes on to say, so all the generations from Abram to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon until Yeshua are 14 generations. So an interesting pattern there. If we go on and look at the birth of Yeshua, and that cross-references to Isaiah 7:10-16, Micah 5:1-6, and Luke 2:1-7. Now the birth of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ, was on this wise. When as his mother Miriam, incorrectly Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought in these things, behold, the angel of Yah appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the set apart spirit, the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of Yah the eternally self-existing, not the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, Yah, or God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of Yah, the eternally self-existing, the Lord, had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Yeshua. So that's from the King James Version with some adjustments of words, etc. It is important to note from the above that Yeshua's Jesus' earthly lineage, as recognized by human beings, traces all the way back to Abram the Hebrew, Genesis 14:13. Most of the people listed there are reported in the so-called Old Testament, evidencing that Joseph and Miriam were fundamentally Hebrew people, who were among those closest to the Almighty Creator throughout the period in question. Note that Matthew, Matthew 2:1-6 states, now when Yeshua, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem of Yehuda, in other words, incorrectly Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Yehudites? We have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where the anointed one should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Yehuda. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Yehuda, art not the least among the princes of Yehuda, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So Yeshua, Jesus, was born in Bethlehem in the land of Yehuda, Judea, and was therefore a Yehudite. Note that the word Jew is an Anglicization of the word Yehudite, so therefore Yeshua was a Jew. And his family and his society were all Jews. Yeshua was not a Greek, and therefore his name cannot have been Jesus or Iesus. His name in Hebrew is Yahushua, Joshua, meaning Yah is salvation, where Yah is the true name of the Almighty Creator. Note also that the occupation forces in Yehuda were Romans, not Greeks. There's no reason why Yeshua, his family, and his community would speak or write Greek. Therefore, nearly all the original writings on which the so-called New Testament are based were written in Hebrew and translated into Greek. This gives rise to all sorts of corrections, some of which will be discussed further in this article. Note that in Matthew 27:46, Yeshua cried out in Aramaic, which is vernacular Hebrew, and about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is, my beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? This was clearly his home language. So this is really important to register, folks, because there's a lot of bad, wrong thinking amongst many Christians towards Jews, that the Jews somehow killed their God and stuff like that. No, Yeshua was a Yehudite, a Jew. He came for the Yehudites. And it was the will of Yah that the Yehudites put him to death, because that was the only way that a new covenant could be entered into. I want to talk a bit about correction of names. In particular, at this point, I'd like to offer a number of corrections with regard to names that are commonly used. These corrections are made within the context of the reality that belief in the Creator and belief through Yeshua, Jesus, are represented to a degree in Christianity, and Christianity is therefore fundamentally a Hebrew religion. In particular, it is not possible to fully understand the so-called New Testament in the Bible without first understanding the culture and history that is presented in the so-called Old Testament. And it's important to recognize that fundamentally Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet. The New Covenant or the New Testament only came into existence when Yeshua died. Folks, this is so, so important. There is so much wrong thinking about the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's a completely artificial and man-made distinction, and it's inaccurate because up to the point that Yeshua died and his side was pierced with a spear and the blood ran down onto the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in a cave underneath the execution site, there was no New Covenant. The New Covenant came at that point when he died. So effectively, all the Gospels up to that point are Old Testament. Everything that Yeshua did was Old Testament. There are none of the miracles that Yeshua performed that had not been performed in some similar shape or form by some prophet before him. In this context, it's also important to understand that modern-day Jews are also descended from these roots. And the reason that so many people hate Jews is because at some level they've been more faithful with the matters of the Creator than most and are therefore a threat to the satanic and demonic realm, which therefore triggers irrational and ill-informed hatred of Jews. It's also important to realize that at the time that the Bible was first translated into English, there was a large amount of tradition and also intense persecution, which resulted in the translators making compromises which have persisted to this day in the vast majority of Bible translations. The following points should be viewed with this in mind, and I'll talk about those in a minute. Folks, it is wrong to hate Jews. They have their own peculiar mannerisms. The more orthodox ones dress in ways that we don't really relate to, with flowing beards and so on and so forth. It doesn't matter. What matters is that some of them have some level of relationship with Father. What matters is that they are making an effort to serve Father in their own way. The fact that Jews do it differently to Muslims, do it differently to Christians, do it differently to whatever, is not relevant. The only thing that matters is, do you have a deep personal relationship with the Creator? If you don't, you have no business judging others, and if you do, you will probably have learnt that it is not appropriate or constructive to judge others because we're told not to judge. Then Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, incorrectly translated the Lord in capital letters. The phrase Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, occurs in the so-called New Testament over 7,000 times, represented as, quote, the Lord in capital letters. This phrase in Hebrew is Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, or Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, depending on preference. There are other variants of that, but they're all roughly the same thing, Yahuwah and so forth. It is the name of the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, and his true fundamental name is Yah. If you do not know his name and use it, you will never particularly draw particularly close to him. How do you form a relationship with someone when you do not know their name? For a detailed discussion of the name of Yah and how it permeates every facet of Old Testament life and the names of people, please visit the webpage. There's a webpage, the Bible. Under that is a subpage, More About the Bible 4. And under that, name of Yah in the book, and there's a whole thing there. There's also another article, more recent article, on the name of Yah is 7,000 times in the Bible. So I encourage you to go to the website and look that up if you get this article On the website, you'll be able to get the links there as well. It is so important to understand how the name Yah was central to the lives of early believers. Thus, in this article, we have Yeshua, Jesus, incorrectly Jesus, meaning Yah is salvation. We have Matiyahu, incorrectly Matthew, meaning gift of Yah. And we have Yehuchanan, incorrectly John, meaning Yah has grace. It is not possible to really understand the history of believers presented in the Bible without understanding this principle. In particular, it's not possible to understand Yeshua, Jesus, without first understanding his name, which clearly states that Yah is salvation, not Yeshua. The reason Yah instructed that the baby in Bethlehem referenced above should be named Yeshua, because that was his mission, to provide a way for salvation. If you go and look on the website, there's a web page which says the name of Yah occurs something like 7,000 times in the Bible. There are about 100, probably more than 100 Hebrew people names that contain the word Yah. So I've looked at three of them there, Yeshua, Matiyahu, Yehuchanan, but there's about another 100. In the early days, we're talking 1,000, 2,000 years before Yeshua, people were steeped in relationship with Yah. They honored Yah in the way they named their children. They honored Yah in all sorts of ways. They were corrupt at a level that we don't even begin to understand. They weren't close to as corrupt as this generation is corrupt. They were still much closer to Yah than the majority of people are today. We tend to look back on the Old Testament and think we're so superior because we've got Jesus and so forth. Folks, it's not true. One of the reasons that Yeshua, Jesus, came was because mankind was sliding into apostasy. There weren't enough people left to be priests and Levites. Yeshua came to make a way for an individual like you and me to have a deep personal relationship with Yah, to have a way of receiving forgiveness without an officiating priest. Further, it's important to understand that the Hebrew word that should accurately be translated the Lord is Baal, the name of a demonic pagan, that is satanic deity. Yet the Bible translators accurately preserved the name Baal in the English, yet totally concealed the name Yah from the translations. So not only do most people not use the correct name for the Almighty, they use a name that is hurtful and insulting. When I first became aware of this in 2000, I asked Father if it was important, and his words to me were, "James, how would you like it if your wife and family called you by the name of your worst enemy?" I got the message and changed my vocabulary immediately. I hope that you will do the same. Folks, this is not a game. I encounter people who say, "Well, God understands. I've been calling him God, or I've been calling him Jesus, or I've been calling him the Lord all my life, and he's blessed me, etc., etc." Folks, that was the case up till 2003. Starting in 2001, Father started withdrawing the grace because he had to send Satan to the pit, and that's a whole different discussion. But the fact of the matter is, if you insist after you've heard this message in calling the Almighty, the Lord or God, in calling Yeshua, Jesus, you are sinning seriously, and you're going to be in big trouble when you die if you don't clean up your act. And you may well get judged in this life for your sin. Then the Almighty, incorrectly called God. Another incorrect word in common usage is God. There are numerous references to God throughout the Old Testament, which are a translation of the Hebrew word Elohim, which means mighty one, capital letters, or mighty one, lowercase, or almighty, depending on context. A judge or ruler can be a mighty one, lowercase. Yeshua is a mighty one, but they are not the mighty one, i.e. they are not the almighty. So wherever reference is being made to Yah, the correct rendering is not God, it is the almighty. The word God is actually the name of a pagan that is a satanic demonic power, and as with the Lord, it is actually an insult to Yah to call him God. As with the Lord, he has extended grace, but that grace was withdrawn in May 2003. Folks, I can't stress this enough. It's actually a very simple adjustment to call Father the Lord, to call Father Yah, or Yah the eternally self-existing, or the Creator, or the Almighty, and not call him the Lord, and not call him God. Just because you've always done it, just because your fathers did it, doesn't make it right. Previous generations had grace. Up to about 20, 30 years ago, we didn't have the access that we have to the internet. If you go and do the most simple search on the internet today, you will confirm what I'm telling you. And these apologetics as to why the God and the Lord, etc., are acceptable, are just that. They're apologetics. They're nonsense. They're satanic lies. You need to let go of them and call Father Yah or the Almighty. Then Yeshua, not Jesus, as stated above, the true name of the spokesman or prophet and emissary apostle of Nazareth is Yeshua, meaning Yah is salvation. This is vital to understanding this man and his role and his mission. It is also important to understanding why his name is the name above all names, Philippians 2:9. Therefore, the Almighty also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. There is nothing higher for humans than the salvation of Yah. That is why the name Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, is the name above all names. Nothing else. And it's not Jesus. Note that this name is not exclusive to Yeshua of Nazareth. It was a common name in Old Testament times, generally correctly translated as Joshua in English Bibles. So, again, Jesus is an insult. There's a page on the website where it's stated that Yeshua means blessed of Zeus, which is a demonic name. Jesus is a demonic name. Again, there was grace until 2003, so nearly 20 years ago, but that grace has been withdrawn. If you continue to call him Jesus, you're going to be in big trouble when you die, if not in this life. You're going to be attacked by demons and taken apart because of your error. Jesus is derived from the Greek Iesus, which in turn is derived from Zeus, another pagan that is a satanic and demonic power, and in fact means blessed of Zeus. So again, it is an insult to refer to Yeshua as Jesus, and again, grace has been withdrawn. The situation with all these demonic names is that if you persist in using them, particularly when you've been apprised of your error, the satanic and demonic realm have authority to take control of you and of your life and totally destroy your relationship with the Almighty Creator, and the Creator will progressively reject you. Think about it. As Father put it to me in the year 2000, James, how would you like it if your family called you by the name of your worst enemy? The Lord, Baal. Zeus, Jesus, are names of demonic powers, huge demonic powers, part of the seven demonic masterminds. It's hurtful to Father and hurtful to Jesus, to Yeshua, to call them God, the Lord, and in the case of Yeshua, Jesus. I appeal to you, please, it's time to stop. Use the correct names. Yes, it requires a bit of adjustment. Yes, it's quite hard work initially to catch yourself because you've been using these words for decades. But it's so worth it, and it's so important. And if If the Father and the Son mean any, or the Son and or the Son mean anything to you, it's time to correct your language. Please do it. There's absolutely no reason to delay another day. Then Christ, which means anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Another meaningless Bible name is Christ. This is a rendering of Christos, Christoon, etc. in Greek. This in turn is a rendering of Mesach in Hebrew, which means to smear or anoint with oil, or to anoint with or smear with the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah. In other words, to be filled with the Spirit. So at the time that Yeshua, Jesus, was anointed by Yehuchanan, John, after he was immersed in the Jordan River and the Spirit of the Almighty descended on him, he was filled with the Spirit of Yah. See Matthew 3:16, when he had been immersed, baptized, Yeshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of the Almighty descending like a dove and alighting upon him. This is so fundamentally important to understanding Yeshua. Up until this moment, he was just an ordinary human being like you and like me. He had lived a sinless life for 30 years, and at that moment he was immersed by Yehuchanan, incorrectly John, and the Spirit of the Almighty came on him in full measure. He then went into the wilderness for 40 days and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And through that fasting, through that anointing, he obtained the anointing to perform the miracles that he performed. He obtained the anointing that allowed Father to speak through him in the way that Father spoke through him. And so his ministry was born. It is so important to understand that what Yeshua did was the Spirit of Yah on the flesh of the man Yeshua. It was not Yeshua being Yah or God or the Lord. It's the Spirit of Yah on the man performing the miracles. So, so important. It was this infilling, this anointing with the set-apart Holy Spirit of Yah that gave Yeshua the power to prophesy, to heal people, to raise the dead, etc. So all of these miracles were performed by Yah, not Yeshua. Taking this further, the word Christ is used in the context of Jesus Christ equals Yeshua anointed with the Spirit of Yah. Christ Jesus, the anointing of the Spirit of Yah that was upon Yeshua. Christ, the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, as in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through the Spirit, through the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, which strengthens me. Commonly, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Incorrect. And then Christ equals also equals the anointed one, referring to Yeshua of Nazareth or any other prominent anointed one. It's so important not to confuse Christ with Jesus. Jesus was and is a man. Christ relates to the Spirit of Yah in or on a man or a woman. I am filled with the Spirit of Yah at some level, so you can call me James Christ if you want to. If you're filled with the Spirit of Yah, you can call yourself your name Christ if you want to. Christ refers to Yah. So if you use Christ interchangeably with Jesus, you get confused and think that Jesus is Yah. No, he's not. Christ relates to Yah. Jesus refers to Yeshua. They're two entities. And it's so important. You can't understand what Yeshua did if you think he's God in the flesh. The net effect is that Christ can be applied to any spirit-filled believer. So I can rightly be referred to as James Christ, just as legitimately as Jesus Christ. And if you're spirit-filled, you can just as legitimately be referred to as your name, Christ. Thus, we see that Christ refers to the Spirit of Yah, and therefore to Yah and not to Yeshua. So when we refer to Jesus using the word Christ on its own, it is effectively meaningless. The net effect of this is that Christianity, correctly interpreted, would mean the religion of those filled with the Spirit of Yah, which it is not, because the vast majority of those who call themselves Christian are not filled with the Spirit of Yah. So Christianity is, regrettably, effectively a meaningless religious word. Note that the biggest impact of Christ is that people think that Yeshua is the Almighty, when in fact he was and is 100% human. Folks, this is so important. If you understand the true translations of these various words that I'm talking about, a whole lot of confusion falls away. It becomes clear that Yah, the Creator, the Father, the Almighty, is distinct from Yahushua, the man, filled with the Spirit of Yah, the Christ. Once you get that, as a Christian, your life will change. Your walk with Father will change. You will stop blaspheming. You will stop worshiping a created being, and you will start to have a deep personal relationship with Father, if you so desire, if you're prepared to do the hard work that is necessary for you to get there. Then Yeshua died on a stake, a length of tree trunk, not a cross. A cross is a pagan, demonic, satanic symbol. See the web page not crossed and the web page the miracle of Yeshua, Jesus' death. So important. The cross is a counterfeit. It's a false symbol. You should not wear crosses. You should not have crosses around your house or on your car or whatever. And you certainly should not have crucifixes. Crucifix is a worship of Yeshua, the man. It's completely out of court. It's out of line. Get rid of it if you've got one. Break it and throw it away. Pray over it. Bind the spirits attached to it. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. Take the bread and wine. Cleanse yourself. Pray for deliverance. Pray that you'll be set free. Get rid of it. A few other words. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Yah. So the word is Hallelujah, meaning praise, and Yah, meaning Yah. Another name that contains the name of Yah. Yehuda, which I spoke about before, Judah, Yahoodah, Yahu, referring to Yah, Da, referring to Da, as in praise Yah. Kodesh, holy, set apart, separate. Father, in Hebrew, Abba, correctly translated, Daddy. I'll share more with you on this topic next week. And I encourage you, if you are a Christian, if you've been worshiping Jesus, worshiping the Bible, it's time to turn over a new leaf and go differently. So I want to end by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I can't stress this enough. There's only one reason this entire universe, this planet, the plants, the animals, we exist. And that is to have a relationship with the Creator. 6,000 years ago, Satan challenged Yah to a contest and declared that by the end of 7,000 years, there would not be a single human being who believed the Creator existed. We're well on the way to that. You, if you do not have a deep relationship with Father, are well on the way to becoming a conspirator in that plot. Father wants a deep relationship with you. This ministry is a place that you can come to find out about that. There's a huge amount on the website that you can learn from. I encourage you to go there after this broadcast. I'll give you the link in a short while. But the reality is Father wants a relationship with you. And I encourage you right now, today, to say, Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want to become your friend. Help me to get there. Show me what to read. Show me who to speak to. Bring people into my life and so forth. So key documents, video on the website, video Why Seek Relationship, Miracle of Yeshua's Death, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, The Essence of My Message to Christians, also articles for Jews, Muslims, and other faiths and unbelievers, all available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu and then podcasts on the drop down, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least 3 podcast websites where you can get back issues. They're also on LinkedIn and YouTube, the more recent videos. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. I publish regular email articles. Email me at james@endtimeissueministries.org. to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. That's james@endtimeissueministries.org. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you are looking for. There's a huge amount of information there, over 2,500 articles, over 1,000 web pages. Printed all out, it's probably close to about 10,000 A4 pages today. Huge amount of information. I encourage you to go there. Answers to a lot of your questions. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you desire to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, it does not matter whether you're a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, a Baha'i, a Hindu, Confucianism, Buddhism, Satanism, rich or poor, short or tall, thin or fat, educated or uneducated, blonde, blue eyes, black hair, brown eyes, anything in between. It doesn't matter who you are. Father wants you to become his friend. Pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua. James Robertson says, I can become your friend. I want to become your friend. Help me to become your friend. Show me what to read. Show me what to do. There are various articles on the website on how to become a friend, how to draw close to Father. Go and look at the website. Go for it. Do it. Good night.
Father, I can.